How's it going, guys? Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Vietes Rundown. I'm your host, Manny Vietes. So on the last episode, I talked a little bit about Lakers basketball. We talked about what Magic brings to the table and what to look forward to with the current Lakers on the roster and what Genie has done with the current team. Within the LA area, and I wanted to bring in my good friend and MVP services representative of the Los Angeles Clippers, John Paul Cadena. How you doing today, brother?
Hey, I'm doing good, Manny. It's a pleasure to be on here. I'm stoked. We've been talking about this since we were little 18-year-old kids wanting to do this. I'm stoked we can be on here.
All right. And then now we're both doing what we want to do, right? So
Couldn't agree more, man. It's a journey that steps.
Yep. So, you know, I'm happy you got your job with your Clippers. You know, I've never been a huge fan. You know, I like Griffin, but, you know, he might be gone soon, so you never know. But I just wanted to ask you to start this whole thing off. What are your overall impressions of the season so far? Have they lived up to your expectations as of late, or what's going on there? Do you like their ranking right now?
Well, ranking-wise, like as we talk, are you talking about fifth in the West, or I saw like a power rankings came out today and they went up to ninth.
Ninth. That's that's very kind of the NBA.
Either way, with how they started out this season, at the beginning they were the hottest team in the NBA. At one point they were number one in the rankings. Obviously a very efficient offensive team now. Obviously some injuries have happened. Things haven't gone necessarily how they want. I think they dropped to, I think they're around like 10 or 11 in defense right now. But it's obviously not a disappointment because they're in the hunt. They're in a playoff race. They're getting back to full health, but it definitely hurts to see your best player miss 6 to 8 weeks. Blake miss 4 to 6 weeks. Luckily, DJ stayed healthy, but injuries has just been plaguing this team for the past few years, man. It's been unfortunate.
Yeah, and then it's always unfortunate when you get in the playoffs and you always lose in the first or second round. It just sucks, man.
It's awful, man. Especially last year was really their year.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like it's always against, like, the Grizzlies or, you know, you have one of those hard series and then who was it last year? The Spurs, right?
Last year it was to the Blazers. It was that game. Chris broke his hand. Blake knee injury. They both left the same game, done for the series.
Mm-hmm. I just completely spaced out on that. But yeah, no, you are definitely right. So with Blake in and out, he's definitely killing it now. His stat line tonight was crazy again. I mean, last night he had 40 points. He's basically playing point forward, which is, you know, something that he's added at like this season, and he kind of wanted to be like that, you know, shooting type of point guard, type of facilitator guy, just trying to like be like the do it all, like LeBron type of guy. Can you just talk a little bit about how his game has progressed over the last couple of years? Because he's not that just low post scoring guy, you know, has a little running hook. He actually can just spot up, shoot the ball, actually has shot the ball well. Can actually dribble the ball from around the post, from the three-point line, dish it to his guys. He basically played point guard in some of the games that Chris Paul has gone. Can you just talk about that a little bit, how Blake Griffin has transformed his game over the past couple of years or this season?
Yeah, man. From a basketball's point of view, or from a professional's, it's been exciting to see. Dude. He's developing the kind of game that you would not have taken to be when he first entered. He was really just that highlight reel kind of show, that Aaron Gordon-esque. He's been adding all these moves to his arsenal. He's extended his range. I was at the game last night, and he actually hit his free throws in the fourth quarter. It really opened the door for the Hornets to come back into it. But in overtime, he hit an extremely clutch three to kind of lead the way and help seal that win. It's nice to see him confidently being able to shoot the three in an overtime game. you that wasn't there a couple years ago. But there was also a play in that overtime period where he got a steal. And 2 years ago, he would have jumped out of the gym and threw it down, not caring. Now he's playing a little more conservative, a little more smart, trying to – he's seen injuries, so he wants to protect his body. He's playing smart. He's not risking by trying to make the highlight play. He's playing efficient, which is great to see, and he's developed a lot of moves, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that game last night against the Hornets was just kind of like a crazy one. CP3's first game back.
Man.
And then in that last little bit there, you saw Kimba just, you know, ooh. I personally think, I don't know, you know, I have my biases, but yeah, I definitely think that was a foul. So
yeah, are you talking about when he threw the turnover, like into
I mean, come on, man, like Chris Paul is known to be that dirty guy, like he's. Chris Paul is like, to me, he's like the same as Draymond Green. Like, he's just a little Draymond Green.
Hey, man. I'm definitely going to disagree. And, man, Chris, he's a competitor. He does what it takes. He's got the most heart in the NBA. Little guys like that got to make those plays sometimes. They didn't get a call. It could have been a call. And it helped win the game. Yeah, he had a great game last night. What was it? 10 assists, no turnovers. I saw a stat this morning, actually. He was like this. Now he's tied for second all time in 15 assists, no turnover games, which is awesome to see. And then, like you said, Blake, monster game. What was it, like 44 and 10?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was good to see too. It was I was talking today with someone. Every game he's ever had in his career has only came at home. He's actually never had a 40-point game on the road, which is
really
well. Obviously, you can tell he's a little biased in that arena. He gets going. Always, a lot of highlight plays come there too.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have them back. They're finally fully healthy. Now it's just getting back into that clicking like they were at the beginning of the season before all the injuries came up.
Yeah. Yeah. So last night you got to see basically they're actually, you know, real starting five in action. Chris Paul had 15 points, 9 rebounds, 17 assists, almost had triple-double, you know, messed around, got triple-double in his first game back.
Yeah, second game actually. He played in that Spurs game.
Yeah, yeah. My bad. Second game back. And then J.J. Redick had 22 points, and that's exactly what you want to see out of him too. And but obviously Blake Griffin, the 43, 10, and 5. But what it's going to gel these guys together, what's going to make them make a deep playoff push, what's going to hold them down defensively is DeAndre Jordan.
Couldn't agree
more. He had 20 points and 19 rebounds last night, which – you know, if you go up against the NBA's best, you know, you're going to need that against the Cavs. You're going to need that against the Warriors, which ultimately those are the two teams that, you know, you're going to have to beat if you want to get that trophy. So, you know, that's definitely a big piece that the Lakers have definitely – I mean, that the Clippers – I'm sorry, I'm still stuck on the Lakers. But that the Clippers have definitely seen his game progress, and they've definitely taken into account that he's definitely – that type of player for that team, that he is the Blake Griffin, he is the Chris Paul, he's that third guy that basically needed.
He's that glue.
No, yeah, he got so this was his first All Star selection, and it was much deserved.
Much deserved, long overdue, man. Long overdue, but at least a season overdue. Go ahead.
It was maybe a season overdue, but you know, when he went to Rio this summer and played in the Olympics, he definitely got that mindset that hey, yo, I'm one of the best here. I mean, I was at his workouts. I saw him. He was working out with you know, Chris Paul. He was working out with not Chris Paul. He was working out with Draymond every day. He was working out with DeMarcus Cousins every day. He was just down there in the post. You know, Draymond just won NBA championship. know, DeMarcus Cousins is probably the best offensive big man besides Anthony Davis, but he was just being around those guys, and you know, just got to get like that feel that he's, you know, not the excluded guy out in LA. And then I know a lot over the summer too. Even though his free throws haven't been looking too hot this season, but I know during the basketball camps over the summer that they had him work on that every single day. Every single day. Like, it wasn't just like a day off just being with Team USA. I was there physically watching him shoot free throws for a whole hour. I think it was Mike D'Antoni that was sitting there, just kept on giving him the ball, kept on giving him the ball, and just basically just filling rebounds for him. But so that's another thing. You want to see DeAndre Jordan obviously get like a, you know, just get like a free throw game going. But what are some things you want to see in his game that he hasn't done so far? I know he's like kind of moved away from that only the pick and roll style, but that's his bread and butter. But what else do you want to see him do? Because I've seen him actually be able to finish late, and he's not just that guy that floats around the rim. He actually can post the ball up, turn around, score, dunk on people, catching lobs like he always does. But what do you want to see him do?
I couldn't agree more with a lot of things you said. Let's run it back to that all-star snub real quick, which I think is complete bullshit. Last year, if you look at the Western Conference all-stars last year, there was only one center on that roster. Is DeMarcus Cousins. It was deserved. Don't get me wrong. It was deserved. But I want to say this would be a fun fact to look up. When is the last time there's ever been an NBA first team selection in a year, in a season, that wasn't an all-star?
Yep.
That is ridiculous to me. How are you going to snub him midseason and give him the highest praise that a center could get besides the MVP at the end of the season? That just doesn't add up to me, man. But like you said, free throws, it's just hard. Like, yeah, I know, I'm sure, like, when you were there in workouts and D'Antoni was feeding the ball, he was making a lot more there than he does in the games. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
Yeah, it's I don't know, it's not something about the lights. I mean, that's been his life, but it's just hard when you're 7 foot, you can't put a whole lot of arc on it. You're almost having to shoot it straight, and especially with how long his arms are. If they're any longer, you'd probably have to, like, almost shoot downwards, which is – he'll get it, man. I trust him. And what's great, too, is that the team trusts him. They know where they're give him games, go to the hack a DJ, that the team trusts him to get them, and then if it just doesn't pan out, it doesn't pan out. But Doc really has made it known that he wants to put the trust in DJ, because that he's going to need to stay in the game when if they want to win a championship, and he's going to need to make those free throws. But I definitely like to see it. Like you said, he's got a little bit of post game, but you don't see him a whole lot, like, so they isolate him or give it to him high. Like, Blake loves getting the ball at the elbow. They're making move, one dribble, spin, little hook shot. DeAndre, he doesn't do it a whole lot. When he does, he scores the ball. I would like to see it a little bit more and get a little more muscle, a little more physical, get that on the block, just physical, one dribble. Sometimes he can jump over the person, sometimes just get that hook game going. You can't ask him to do any better than he's doing defensively on the boards. It's really all you can ask is a little bit more free throw efficiency, a little bit more wantingness to score the ball, which is nice. I mean, he leads the team in field goal percentage, which is great, almost like 70%.
Yeah, because all his field goals are right around the rim. I mean, I hope you would average that. But so the playoff picture is coming up. The playoffs are about to start in 22 games, I think, now for most teams. The Clippers right now sit at the fifth spot. They would face the Utah Jazz in a seven game series in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs. Do you think that the Clippers should? What do you think they should do? I think personally that they should definitely keep this spot and just try to go up to the third spot. Obviously, I would rather see them play the Utah Jazz or have them play the Memphis Grizzlies. But I know you have some different opinions about that. So I definitely don't want to see them fall to the sixth spot and play the Rockets, or fall to the seventh spot and have to play the Spurs, because I'm pretty sure that they will lose. So if they get that nice first round matchup against the Jazz, I feel like they'll win that series, and then I don't feel like they'll advance to the Western Conference Finals, but I feel like they'll get past that first series if they play the Jazz. But if they go any more down, if they go to the sixth or seventh spot, which is very, very close, they only hold a couple game lead over both the Grizzlies and over the who's the seventh? I forgot the 17. But if they fall down, I guarantee you they will not have an easy path. So
yeah, man, it's all in the eye of the beholder. We actually have this talk a lot in the office. Obviously, yeah, they're sitting right now a game behind the Jazz. Realistically, you'd want them to win that battle, get the four seed. That way, in that series, they have home court advantage. And like you said, though, the Grizzlies, they're only a game and a half behind the Clippers. So Clippers are a game and a half outside of the six seed right now. But in my eyes, when Clippers are full strength, they're a very tough to beat team, especially once they're clicking, once they get everything going up again, like the beginning of the season. The beginning of the season, they had their way with the Spurs a couple times. I genuinely think full strength, full health, that this team can beat the Rockets in a seven-game series. I think they can beat the Spurs in a seven-game series. The only thing that is in their way is the Warriors. They haven't beat them since what was it, Christmas of 2014? It's been a while. Yeah. It's been a while since they had. And then before that was that seven-game playoff series. I don't know if you remember, you and me, that game seven.
Yep.
That's a great time. A great time. But I really would like to see them, like I said, I wouldn't mind seeing them fall to the sixth seed and battling out with the Rockets in seven, and then next taking on the Spurs, and then if they can get to the conference finals, it's versus the Warriors. It's all, if you're looking at the Western Conference, it's who's going to play the Warriors in the conference finals. And
yeah, but you don't want to get the Rockets, you do not want to go play this new revamped Rockets team in seven games, because that's just crazy. If you want, because a lot of people are comparing the Rockets now to they're not comparing, they're just saying that they're the only ones in the Western Conference who have a actual shot at beating the Warriors. They're the ones that can actually compete with them in the 3-point game. So I definitely don't think that the Clippers even have a chance, even like remotely chance, to beat the Rockets in a seven-game series. Well,
here's where we find that out. Rockets on Wednesday.
Yep.
This will be a great test for both teams. I'm excited to see what happens. All I'm saying is, in the eyes of when you either want to face the Warriors in the second round or you would want to face the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, I think if the Conference versus the team, Spurs. But I definitely agree the Rockets are very efficient. Now have a lot of the top players in the league. It would be a great series. I think Wednesday is going to be a potential preview. Either way, it's going to be a great game. I'm excited to be there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, so the Rockets made a move right before trade deadline. They traded traded for Lou Williams from your neighboring Lakers. I think that was definitely behind another Western Conference team. Behind the Thunder's pickup that they got, that was definitely the best move of the trade deadline. So Lou Williams in his first game back, I mean, first game for the Rockets last week, he scored 20 points in his first game. That definitely, like adding him with Eric Gordon on the bench, that definitely is already to one of the best benches in basketball. That's definitely a bench that can take a team to a conference finals against the Warriors, who actually can compete with a weak second unit of the Warriors. I would rather have Lou Williams playing against Patrick McCaw, even though that's my boy. I would rather have Lou Williams going against Patrick McCaw, you know what I mean? So that's the thing, that the Clippers didn't make no moves. The Clippers made no moves as the deadline got closer. And they definitely could if they wanted to. They were actually looking to trade for PJ Tucker. He ended up going to the Raptors, but the Suns wanted a first round pick for PJ Tucker, which obviously the Clippers weren't going to do. But they were offering a second round pick, and that definitely wasn't something that the Clippers were going to take. So the Raptors ended up just trading away two first-round picks plus the expiring contract of Jared Sullinger. So that seemed like a more lucrative move for the Suns. But it just sucks because I saw the Clippers were in trade talks with the about like 2 or 3 months now to try to get PJ Tucker. They wanted that defensive stopper that kind of, you know, definitely missed out on a guy like that.
Yeah, man, the Raptors were asking a lot. The Suns were asking a lot for PJ Tucker. I'm really stoked that they didn't get rid of those draft pick. I'm glad the Raptors came in with, in the Suns' eyes, a better offer. PJ Tucker, he's not what the – in my opinion, I think the Clippers, yes, they may need an upgrade at that three position. But PJ Tucker was not the answer in my eyes. Dude averaging 7 points a game this season. His last game versus the Knicks, 2 points in 26 minutes. It's just
I watched that Knicks game today. No, but he was that. Trust me, like people don't understand that PJ Tucker is that energy guy. And that's what you pay for when you get him. You know, you don't pay for like a guy who's going to average 20 points a game. You're getting a guy who can go out there. He can defend. He can grab a rebound when you need it. I think the first game he had with the Raptors three nights ago, he had like 11 rebounds or something like that. See, that's the type of guy you need on a team. And he's playing the shooting guard three position with 11 rebounds in his first game. That just shows that guy's like a hustle player, that guy's an energy player. And that's what I wanted to see the Clippers do, because you guys don't have one of those type of guys. Besides Chris Paul, there's no one else on that team that can do that. You look at Blake Griffin, it looks like he has no emotion just coming out of him. Looks like just a blank.
Hey, it's an eye to behold. If you watched him play that game last night, he had a fire in his eyes to win that game, and his competitive edge came out. It was great to see. Like you said, Chris Paul is that guy, and I'm glad we're seeing a little bit of glimpse of Blake stepping up to be that guy too.
Yeah. So what were some other guys that you wanted to see come before the deadline or months before? Because I know personally that Rudy Gay was definitely in talks to becoming traded. I know that the Clippers wanted him to be in LA. They had definitely been missing that three-wing score. And Wilson Chandler also got brought up as well. And I thought that that was going to be a great fit. You guys need that guy who's above 6'6", who can go out there and score the basketball. And I definitely thought that the Clippers were going to try to make one of those moves, but obviously they didn't. And would you like to see that?
Yeah, I loved I was pretty stoked when I heard talks about them looking to acquire Wilson Chandler, as in my eyes, he's a huge a much better three than PJ Tucker, averaging 9 more points a game this season. He's younger than PJ Tucker, rebounding just as much. So Wilson Chandler would have been great to see. Like you said, Rudy Gay, where hasn't that man played, man? But another interesting one we could talk about, I'd like to know your opinion too, is Botox. Was it close to happening, you think? You got any inside sources on that?
So the Melo talks, definitely, I mean, to be honest with you, he would only waive his no trade clause to go play with LeBron or go play with Chris Paul. I mean, he's at an age right now where he has kids, and they're in, I mean, he has a kid, and they're in, and he's in school in New York. And so you basically want to trade a guy, you know, a proven guy in this league. You want to trade him at the deadline and move his family to a different city. Like, I mean, I know his wife Lala and his son probably wouldn't have moved, but I mean, you want to take a guy out of like an educational fundamental year of his son's life to go move to a different city, and I feel like that's why he has that no trade clause. I mean, he don't want to move. He don't want to move anywhere. He's from New York. He wants to stay there.
You know, aren't him and LeBron the only two players in the NBA with the no trade clause?
Yeah, because why would they want to go anywhere else?
Couldn't agree more.
When Melo, was doing his tour of trying to see, you know, what people could field for him, he was going to Houston. He went to where else did he go? He went to LA, and he went to the Knicks. And you know, obviously, everyone was thinking that he was going to go. I mean, him and James Harden would have been nice, but he wanted to be home. And it's either you're home or you're playing with your best friends, right? Like
couldn't agree more. Talking
about? Yeah, so. So I mean that all those talks about him coming to the Clippers, you know, they were great. I really didn't think they were going to be close to happening at all. They wouldn't be getting them like much in return for it. It would have just been a you know, flat deal. Like what do you send over there? Like Austin Rivers, you know, like you see Jamal.
Yeah, they were saying how they would have either taken Austin and Jamal or Austin and JJ. Was it Jamal and JJ or Jamal and Austin?
I thought I saw Jamal, but I mean it definitely well could be JJ, but I don't see the value in that trade at all for the Clippers at all. You see like Melo could still go out there and score 20, 25 points a game, but he's not going to win you a championship right now.
Not going to win you a championship, not going to take away 3/4 of your bench productivity. Your bench scoring and one of your late game closers.
Oh yeah, and you know Melo's a he didn't hit the game winner tonight, but he's a late game. He's one of those late game players. But what Jamal Crawford and what Austin Rivers have going for them right now is something great that I definitely don't think you'd want to. You know, Jamal Crawford's been a little bit disappointing this year.
Exactly.
But
hey, watch out for my man Austin Rivers, most improved player this year. Watch out. I'm calling it.
I think Devin Booker's gonna win that 100%.
I'm a little biased, but I definitely agree with you. But yeah. Austin, give him a top three finish and I'll be stoked.
Yeah. I mean so going back to Melo, I think Melo would have, you know, obviously, you know, me being a fan of Melo growing up, I would love to go see him play with, you know, some of his friends and have him go to a team where, you know, he's never been a part of that big three or like a big two. Well, maybe in Denver when he had, you know, Chauncey Billups towards the end of his career, maybe a little bit, but, and then when the Knicks try to get Amari, but, you know, I would like to see that. That's just not something that's like even in the Clippers' best interest right now. they wouldn't want to even get involved with that. So
yeah, no, I'm definitely glad that they stayed quiet in talks with Melo. But what was interesting is that from New York, they were actually only in pursuit of Courtney Lee.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, I definitely saw that too. That was about an hour or two right before the deadline. They were actually just asking about him. Which, see, that would be a guy that would have filled their void. And that's something that the Clippers should have been looking for from the beginning, rather than getting involved with all these, you know, little Mellow talks or whatever. They should have been looking at, you know, the Wilson channel. I was trying to actually make that deal happen.
You know, yeah, sometimes no moves is good moves. They didn't get worse that way.
Yeah, I mean, no moves is good. Like no moves sometimes can be good moves, especially when, you know, like the Clippers haven't had their full team at all this season. You know, they've had, you know, like Chris Paul for minimal games. They've had Blake Griffin for minimal games. You saw last night how their starting lineup played together. You saw the numbers that they put up. So it's definitely something to look forward to in the future. But rounding it out, I wanted to just talk about that disappointing loss to the Golden State Warriors the other night. What was that about, man? You let the Warriors score 50 points in one quarter?
Yeah, it was actually, what was it, 8 points away from the all-time NBA record in a quarter. That would have been pretty embarrassing.
That would have been pretty crazy, especially against this like little rivalry that you guys haven't had for the last like 3 or 4 years now.
So it scored them 50-26 in the third quarter, man. That was not great to see. It was definitely, well, there was talks early in the day that Chris was going to play, so the hype was slowly creeping the squad. And then, like you said, second quarter, second and third quarter, just playing great, really like dominating the control and the tempo of the game. And then you can only hold them off for so long, it seems like.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, you can only hold them off for so long, you know, but, you know, there was that span there where, you know, like KD hit three threes in a row, I think. And then you saw Austin Rivers go run down to the other end and try to chuck up a 3-2. Or was it against KD? I know it was against Steph. You know, Steph went down there, hit a three, and then Austin Rivers runs down the other side of the court, tries to hit a three, and like look at Steph in the face and be like, "Oh yeah, you know, I just matched you." Like, are you kidding me? Like you know, at the end of the day, Austin Rivers is going to be Austin Rivers. And Steph Curry is going to be Steph Curry. You know, you just can't be doing that stuff. You know, that's just madness to me. And, you know, basketball's a game of runs. You know, so what? You guys are up by 20 points. You know, they scored 9 points in a row. You know, the Warriors are going to do that. The Warriors are expected to do that. The Warriors are expected to win. You are expected to lose, but lose to the Warriors. So, you know, I just don't see no value in you just going down, chucking up shots as they did. I blatantly watched it. And, you know, when you can just, you know, you can go let the Warriors chuck up as many shots as you want, as they want. You know, Steph's going to get hot eventually. KD's going to get hot eventually. It's going to happen. You know, you just can't stop it. Klay's going to get hot. But, you know, you being a team that you want to put yourself in a position to win the game, just go down there, run an offensive play, you know, get yourself an easy bucket, you know, open look, rather than, you know, just doing something trying to match the Warriors, which a lot of teams try to do, and that ends up being their kryptonite because they can't match up with that team. And that's where I feel like the Rockets are going to actually have a chance to beat them in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, man, wouldn't we all love to see it, especially being down here in LA. My hatred for the Warriors grows more and more every day. I couldn't agree with you more. It was unfortunate to see them try and match and play their style of game, especially when they had the lead. They were controlling the dominance of the game. It's their kryptonite, man. It's somehow they just can't get over that hump of beating that team, and I'm hoping it's coming to an end soon. All we can point from a fan's point of view, from any employee's point of view that's not on the not on that court can really just hope they get it together and want to see it happen. Because I think on paper, it's definitely something that it's just saying is one thing, doing is another. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Chris Paul didn't play in the game, which I mean, you know, give or take, but you have a 20-point lead. You just can't give it up. But one, I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but your guy Bryce Johnson actually made his season debut against the Warriors the other night. What do you guys say about that? I mean, he didn't play much, but it's good to see him out there. It's good to see that guy out there.
Yeah, he only had a few minutes, grabbed a couple boards. Nothing too much, but it was exciting to see him in, man. It's crazy how, if you're a college hoops guy, that was a top five, top 10 player in the nation last year. And people forget that he went unnoticed. I think when he's fully healthy, when that back's ready, he'll be ready to go. He's excited. He's a lot of potential. He's been in stage where he's the dominant player, and so let's hope he gets accustomed to the league.
Hopefully he can be that high flyer that he was in North Carolina, and he could just kind of feed off of the whole, you know, Lob City motto that they got going on down there in LA.
Yeah, man. I've talked to him a few times too. He's actually a really cool guy. We talked basketball we've also just talked life and stuff, and this man's going to be super successful. I really like him. He's one of my favorite players on this Clippers team for a good future for him.
Nice. So where do you see the Clippers landing? When the regular season's all said and done, where do you think they're going to land? Do you think they're going to land at, you know, 3, 4, 5, fall down to 6 or 7? What do you think about?
You know, what are they right now? What is that? They're 5.5 games of – oh, no, with the Rockets lost tonight. Now they're only 5 games out of that 3 seed. They play them on Wednesday. Rockets coming off a loss, taking that trip to L.A. So say the Clips win that, then they're only 4 games out. And I know they play them again at least one more time after this.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in a reality or in an optimistic point of view, I'm thinking the Clips are full strength. They get back to where they were at the beginning of the season. And they could, if they want it, that 3 seed is theirs. They just got to start clicking and start playing some, winning some ball games. And then they could have an interesting first round matchup with whoever the 6 seed is, probably either the Thunder or the Grizzlies. And then maybe be ready for the Spurs, but that's a very optimistic point of view. Your realistic point of view is you're gonna see them in that 4 seed, get home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. But like I said, I would not mind if the rest of the season doesn't go how it should with that full strength squad, and they happen to fall down to the 5 or 6 seed. I'd much rather see them in the 6 seed or to a deep playoff run with a Western Conference Finals versus their Kryptonite, and let's hope they can conquer it.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they can get to that 3 seed, like you said. I mean, that would be cool to watch, you know, because there would be some exciting basketball. They'll definitely have to go on a couple of win streaks. Definitely some three or four game stints right there.
Yeah, let's look at here. They got Houston. That's a must win game in my mind. Not only for the playoff picture, but for their confidence. They got a Milwaukee team, a broken down Chicago team coming up. Boston, Timberwolves, Memphis, Sixers, Jazz, all extremely winnable games. There's no reason in my mind that if they win on Wednesday, up until they play the Cavs on March 8th, so what, about 8 games, all 8 of those games should be W's. So let's hope for a run here. Let's get a beginning to a good finish for some Clippers basketball.
That's a really optimistic point of view. I really think that they're going to just – yeah, man. They're definitely not making that 3 seed. They're going to stay there at the 4 or the 5, which though they might pass the Jazz, but they probably won't catch up to the Rockets because the Rockets are going to be, you know, trying to put the gas on the pedal unless they try to rest some guys, which they definitely probably won't. Or, you know, the chucking out 53s a game just doesn't work out anymore. But
yeah, they live or die on that 3 ball, and
hey,
if it's on, they can beat any team in this league, including the Warriors. Like we said, they match up very well, and if the three's on, it's really hard to win, as we've seen from Golden State. But if it's off the on exit, or they could give up that 3 seed, you never know.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to find out on Wednesday when the 2 show down. And kind of just wrapping it up at the end, what do you think about Ballmer and Doc Rivers? Do you like the direction that the Clippers organization is going? Personally, I'm gonna tell you my opinion. I think Doc Rivers is past his prime. He was given a great team in Boston when there wasn't a, you know, LeBron mega team, you know, and then there was
the OG Big Three.
Yeah, the OG Big Three, but yeah, come on. But you know, he was the first one blessed with that, and that's what solidified Doc Rivers. You know, that's he hasn't made a name for himself after that. Yeah, you get to the playoffs every year, but what's going to happen? You know, and that it's I just don't see the, you know, them. I don't see how. I mean, obviously, like them keeping him on the squad is definitely in the best interest right now, because you've had guys on that team for years now. You try to develop your own Big Three with Blake Griffin and Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan, which now Jordan's playing at his highest level. I just don't see any more value. If after this season, if they don't make any moves coming in the offseason, if they don't get a wing player, if they don't get someone that's going to actually change this franchise from a playoff standpoint, because right now, yeah, you know, you get to the regular season, you know, you win 40-plus games, but then you lose in the playoffs. And you just can't keep on doing that when you got these type of guys on your team. It's either, you know, let's ship off DeAndre Jordan, let's ship off, you know, well, you'd probably keep DeAndre Jordan, but, you know, let's ship off Blake Griffin and let, you know, Chris Paul's probably going to, you know, win off in a couple of years. So I just don't, you know, I just don't see the direction that the Clippers franchise is going. I would not have like kept Doc Rivers for this long. I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at it from an outsider's point of view. What do you guys say about that, man?
In my eyes, Doc, one of the best coaches in the league. Yeah, he's had a couple unfortunate mishaps in the past few seasons. DJ Young signed a nice extension with the team. He'll be around. Chris Paul last week actually agreed, gave a verbal – that sounds like I'm like he's college – verbally agreed to terms with an extension with the team. So if they can wrap up, Blake can extend that, which Blake loves L.A. He loves the spotlight. I don't see him going anywhere either. If they have very few seasons left with this team to make a run at a title. Doc knows it. Steve knows it. The team knows it. They got to make use with these pieces, bring in maybe one more elite or two more very solid pieces to continue to be serious contenders. Nowadays, every team is bringing in 3 to 4 studs per team, and especially this offseason, the cap is booming, correct?
Yeah, I'm gonna stay put on my on my take on that. You know, I'm not gonna budge a little bit.
I'm just gonna say there's potential to win a championship. There's potential to bring in a couple people and help win that championship, but there's also potential for this for a collapse with guys leaving and other teams exceeding. So it could go either way. We're hoping only for the up and up and to continue to improve.
Yeah. How's the energy with the Bama there? Still good or what?
Man, let me tell you. I'm sitting in the office the other day. I'm on my computer doing my thing, getting ready for game day. I look over to my left. Bomber's walking by. Biggest smile. And go eye-to-eye contact. It was great. We made some small talk. Gave a how you doing. He asked me where the bathroom was in the office. I got to point that out to him. I was pretty stoked. I've never seen more energy in a grown man than in Steve Ballmer. If I could have the energy of someone when I'm that age, it's definitely Steve Ballmer. There's no one, no better owner as a person that I've seen in the NBA. He just seems like a great all-around dude, always happy, always fired up, always excited and passionate. And what you want to see in someone that cares this much about an organization is the passion. So I'm all in on Steve Ballmer.
Well, you guys heard it here. He's all in on that crazy dude that you guys see on YouTube and on live TV. His name is Stephen Ballmer. All right, so I'm just gonna end it here because this video is getting kind of long. But so,
JP, man, we could talk hoops forever, man.
Yeah, we always do. You know, we always send each other some hoops trivia, you know, through the text line. But I'm just gonna wrap it up here. So,
Jay, all I'm saying is, let me get my wrap up with saying Wednesday must win versus Rockets team, and that will be the start to their ascension. Chasing that three seed.
Three seed's not going to happen. All right. All right, Jay, thanks for stopping by the Vietes Rundown. And if you guys haven't done so already, can you guys please go and check out my past episodes? Pretty sure you guys won't be disappointed. And then on iTunes, just go click the subscribe button, write a review if you guys are digging the show. So with Manny Vietes here with the Vietes Rundown, I'll see you guys next time. Peace.